Blog Talk Radio.
Amen, amen. New Beginnings is not just for the young. We'd like to thank you for tuning in once again. We are New Beginnings Ministry, and we're here every Wednesday. Every Wednesday, just feeding on the Word of God. For those of you who are tuning in by internet, if you would like to call in, you can call in at 347-237-4054. That's 347-237-4054. 1-877-237-4054. Once you call in, you can participate in the discussion. At the time, the presenter, the speaker, opens up the mic to you. We pray that you would continue to listen to Blog Talk Radio. We have, again, this Wednesday, a word from Long Island, New York, Pastor Dawn Nixon, who is on, which is a regular basis, and she always comes with a mighty word from the Lord. We're going to move on over into Long Island, New York, and we're going to turn the mic on over to Pastor Dawn Nixon from Long Island, New York.
God bless you, Elder Clay, and all of those who are listening on the line tonight. I'm grateful to be able to share with you the word of the Lord. I'm excited because I believe that God is doing something in this season for the people and children of God. And so we are want to tap into some of the things, and I don't want to discourage you. I want to encourage you today because there are many who are discouraged in this season, but I am here on tonight to encourage my sisters and my brothers in Christ, to let them know that what they're going through in this season is preparing them for their destiny. And so we're grateful to God for all of you who are on the line. If this is your first time on the line, we pray that the Lord will say something to you that will be life-changing for you. Please call somebody and let them know that we are on the line. Call your friends, text them, Facebook Live them. Let them know that we are on the line and we are sharing a word with the Lord, of the Lord with you on tonight. And we just want to go into a word of prayer. Our Father and our God, we thank you. We thank you for your blessings. We thank you for this time and this opportunity to share your word. We pray, O God, today for that one who is going through, a struggle, through a trial, through a tribulation. And, God, they don't see the end of their tunnel. I pray today that, God, you will show them that you are the light of the world. And, God, that what is going on with them right now is preparing them for one of the greatest destinies that is about to take place in their life. And so I pray today, God, as we glean from your word, that we will get understanding of your word, that we will no longer walk in ignorance, but we will walk in understanding. Not only that, but we will apply the word to our life, and not only apply the words to our life, but we will speak the word and share the word with others that they may apply the word of God to their life as well. In the mighty name of Jesus, we have prayed, and we say amen and amen. All right, we're going to share with you on today. We've been dealing with a series in our own Bible study concerning serving God. And so we have taken the subject on tonight. Serving God is worth the trial to glory. Serving God is worth the trial to glory. And so I'm going to ask if you would go with me to 1 Peter 4, and I'm going to read verses 10 through 13, but we're going to start with verses 10 and 11, and it reads, "As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him as the oracle of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen." And so we're going to deal with these two verses right now. We're going to get to those last two verses. But I want to share with you on tonight the importance of serving God. And serving God is really, really worth the trial to glory. Know this, that whatever you do, and when you're serving God, it does not come without trial, does not come without tribulation. Even when we think about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, his assignment did not come without great fiery trials and tribulations. And so someone would ask the question, is it really necessary to serve God, because we are living in a season and a time where people don't feel that serving God is necessary. They feel that whatever they choose to do, it doesn't take all of the things that we grew up on. You know, we were raised, and I'm talking about those who are in my generation and those who were before me, some of us in our generations and before us, we served God to the point where we devoted and we gave our lives completely over to God. Meant we had to get up and go to Sunday school in the morning. That meant that we had to go to every service that was in our church. We were faithful to all of those things because we recognize that we are servants of the kingdom of God, and our parents recognize that, and this is what we were raised up. And somebody said, well, is it really necessary? What is the purpose of changing our priorities? This is the mentality of people now. What is the purpose of changing our priorities to accomplish tasks that God could honestly do better and more quickly without us? And so the question is, what does God really need us for? He is God. He's all powerful. He knows all things. He can do things that no other power can do. So one would ask the question, why would God want for us? And this is what Peter addresses, the importance of serving God in this particular text. So what Peter lets us know in this text is that each one of us should, whatever gift, and I tell everybody that your first gift, your first birthday gift was not on the day that you turned 1 year old. That's not the first gift that you ever received. That's not the first birthday gift that was ever given to you. But the first birthday gift that was ever given to you was already imparted in you before you were even conceived. God gave us, each one of us, a gift that would serve a purpose on earth that would help the kingdom of God, and not only the kingdom of God, but it is meant to help one another. Now, this is where we battle a lot, because a lot of people don't understand the importance of being there for one another. First Peter lets us know each one of us should use our gifts that we have received to serve others, to serve others. It's important. God lets us know that when we take care of the poor and we feed the poor and we take care of those who are sick, it is as if we're taking care of the things of God, as if God is taking care of those things himself. So God uses us, and he gives us the power and the ability to do things so that we can serve one another. And so when we see one another in need, it is our job. It is whatever gift God has given us to help one another in those times of need. And see, we've got to understand that we are living in a selfish generation now. My mom and the saints of our church back in the day, when they were going through the depression and different things like that, they would help one another. They would bring pots of food and share with one another. They would, when one didn't have clothes, they would wash the clothes that they wore one Sunday, and they would give it to somebody else to wear the following Sunday, because it was about making sure that each person had what they need. And now we're in a generation, we're in a place now in life where we won't even come to church with the same dress on that somebody else bought. We'll go back home and change our clothes, where back in the day they would share their clothes because they realized that they were in this together. They were helpers of one another. And so we've got to realize that what we have, our gift, our purpose on earth, that gift that has been placed in our life, has been given to us to help one another through whatever they may be going through. And so what we have to understand is that that ability that God has given us, we give it with, God has given it to us with power and anointing and glory, and that God will get the glory out of it all. And so when we have an understanding that the gift that has been given to us has a purpose, it serves a purpose. So if anyone serves, he or she should do it with the strength that God provides. know this, we can't do anything within our own strength. We don't do anything within our own power. So we have to do it through the strength that God provides for us. And so that in all things, God may be praised through Jesus Christ. There's a reason why God has allowed us. It is all the glory and all the honor belongs to him. All the There's a song that they sing, all the glory belongs to you, all the glory belongs to you, O God. And so when we realize that we have an understanding of our purpose and what our gift is really for, we will use it to the greatest ability that we have. So to serve others and to bring praise to God, serving isn't about us. I got to get us to understand that. Serving is not about us. If you can hear me, say it to yourself. Serving isn't about us. It is about receiving attention or glory. It's not that we get the glory. It is not that we get attention. And now I'm looking at things nowadays where people do service in the kingdom of God just so somebody can give them a pat on the back so that they can be praised and so that somebody can call out their name and not realizing that you are getting your reward when you get your attention. I'm going to say that again. You get your reward when you get that attention. So when I shift the attention from off of myself, because I've recognized that even though I have the gift to do the things that I do, I only have the power to do or work in that gift because God gives me and strengthens me to do what he has called me to do. So I can't take glory or I can't take credit for something that I really didn't do myself. And yes, God can do all things, but he has a purpose. He had a purpose from the very beginning of creation of man. He had a purpose. And when we understand that we have to tap into the purpose of God, tap into the things of God, so that God will be glorified. Amen? Not that we be glorified, but that God would be glorified.
Amen.
So it is for him to receive the glory. Somebody asked another question. How does God receive glory when we serve? Watch this. The transformation of power of Jesus Christ is on display in our lives of those who have traded. I'm going to say this, and I'm going to say it more than once so that we can understand. The transformation of power of Jesus Christ is on display in the lives of those who have traded selfishness for selflessness. Okay? I'm going to say it again. Transformation of power of Jesus Christ is on display in the lives of those who have traded selfishness for selflessness. So, in other words, I can't be selfish. I cannot be selfish in the things of God. I can't think that it's all about me. Why can't I think it's all about me? Because God has other people in the kingdom of God who can serve in the kingdom of God. Why? Because I know that I cannot reach everybody in the kingdom. So God sends people in various areas of the world. I may never get to China, but there's somebody who's in China or somebody who's going to China that can speak into the life of those who has the gift to speak and turn things around for them, so that they would see the power of God, and so that they would see the glory of God, so they'll get to know who Jesus Christ is for themselves. We've got to understand this gift that God has given us has great purpose. This gift that God has given us, it is not for self-gain. Self-gain that we would get glory. Because the honest truth is, if we receive glory, we really wouldn't know what to do with it. We would not know how to handle the glory of God. How do I know we wouldn't be able to handle the glory of God? Because we can't even see God face to face because his glory is too great that we would be struck dead. We would not be able to handle what God, the glory of God. But what I realize is that the glory, when I give the glory to God and I get out of myself, y'all hear me? Because one thing I realize that when I'm in myself trying to get glory, I'm going to mess up. Watch this. How do I mess up? How do I mess up? I mess up by speaking concerning myself, my feelings, what I think, and how I process
mm-hmm.
things, and it has nothing to do with what God's word is for the people that hear it. So how do I mess up? I mess up because I speak something that God has not ordained for me to speak. Watch this. We're in a dangerous situation when we do not speak the things of God and speak through the power of God, because then when we speak through our own selves and our own emotions, and then we pour it into someone else, and that's not what they needed to receive, then now I have disrupted the life of another individual, and I've turned them, I can turn them astray, away from God, because I've talked to them concerning my feelings at the time that may change on tomorrow.
That's
and so
good.
If it changes tomorrow, then I've given them misinformation.
That's good.
And when I give them misinformation, then now they got to deal with how to work this thing out. Well, you told me that such and such this is, and I was supposed to do that, but I did it out of myself and not out of the things
mm-hmm.
of God. So we have to be careful, people of God, when we are serving one another. Know that we have to talk to God. We have to pray to God. Let God pour into us so that we can pour into others. Amen?
Amen, amen.
That is important. It's important that we do not walk in our own will. Even when our will sounds right. Even when our will looks like it's right. Even when our will feels like it's right.
Mm-hmm.
We can really mess up the destiny of others
mm-hmm.
by doing things that God has not caused us or told us to do. So everything that we have to do in through the power and the anointing of and the power of God. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Peter tells the believers that they should recognize that we are speaking and serving directly, I'm going to say this again, on the behalf of God to others, while he gives the ability and strength for us to do so. And when we are direct and when we direct glory towards him instead of accepting it for ourselves, we stand out from the crowd of those who glorify only themselves.
Amen.
Y'all hear me?
Amen.
So
Amen.
When I choose to give the glory to God, then I'm set aside from those who give glory to themselves. Well, you may have really had the gift to preach a word. You may have had the gift to sing an awesome song. And while it is the gift that God has given you, and greater works than these shall you do, you could have never done it without the power of God.
Amen.
So when people want to pat you on the back, see, that's where we have to be careful. We have to be careful because a lot of times people will praise you.
That's right.
In the house.
Mm-hmm.
They'll glorify you in the
mm-hmm.
house. That
mm-hmm.
glory should be redirected and says, give that glory to God.
Yes.
Give that honor to God, because I am nothing more than a servant of God to be
yes.
able to impart in you what he's already imparted in me. So I can't take credit for something. There's times where I'm in the middle of a message, and God will give me something that shocks me. And I'll just say in the middle of my message, my God, that was good. And that's to indicate that didn't come from me. Because it's not written down on my paper. It was not something I practiced. But it's something I heard from God, and God allowed it to come through me so that the people of God can hear what I had to say through
Amen.
Him.
Amen.
And so when I hear something that God empowers me to say, that is a life-changing word, is what I call a revelation nugget. When you get those revelation
mm-hmm.
nuggets, you can't act like that revelation came from you.
Mm-hmm.
That revelation
That's right.
came from God. And
mm-hmm.
it causes me to pause. It causes me to stop in my tracks, because when I'm delivering it, sometimes it surprises me, because, and I often say this at my church, I say this out when I preach, because I'm not that smart. I'm not that intelligent to come up with this revelation. It has to come
mm-hmm.
from God. Revelation comes from God. It does not come from man. Amen? So when we realize that I got to shift, I have to shift because I want to make sure that God is getting the glory out of my life. I want to make sure that God is getting the glory out of what I say. Mm-hmm. I want to make sure that God hears and that the people see God even though they physically see me. I'm going to say that again.
Mm-hmm.
I have to make sure people of God who are serving God, it doesn't matter what capacity that you're serving God in, you need to make sure that they're seeing God even though they're physically seeing you.
Amen.
Yes.
That they know that it is the glory of God that is on you. See, because a lot of times you have babes in Christ who can't tell the difference.
Yes, that's right.
And they want to praise mm-hmm. you when the truth is they have to redirect their praise to God. Because
mm-hmm.
sometimes you're the God, the only God that they see.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to explain that to you because a lot of times we make gods out of people.
Mm.
Yes, that's right.
Mm-mm. And a real oracle of God, a
mm-hmm.
real servant of God will
that's
sit
right.
that individual down and let them know, listen, wait a minute. Wait
mm-hmm.
a minute. I'm a servant of God, but I am not God.
God. Mm-hmm.
Because when you take mm-hmm. on the man, the makeup of God. This how Lucifer got in trouble, because
mm-hmm.
he tried to usurp his authority over God. That's not gonna happen. How are you gonna be greater than the giver, the gift giver, when you only got a gift? How are you going to be greater than the creator, when the only way you can create is through him?
Yes.
So there's no way in life that I will ever be greater than my creator.
Amen.
Impossible. Can't happen. Impossible. Because while I'm just learning what he's already done, how am I going to be greater when I haven't even accomplished the things that he has done far beyond what I've ever... Listen, when we can learn how to create and divide water from water, call the stars into space, when we can create man by hand, y'all hear me, and breathe into his nostrils and let them become a living soul, we still have not become greater than God.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
So when I come to an understanding that my humility in my servitude allows me to push forward in my destiny. See, because a lot of times, what blocks us in our servitude is that we start taking on the form of God as if we are God.
My God.
That's a problem. That's a problem. I am a servant of God, but I am not God. All right? So we have to stand outside of the crowd who glorifies themselves, and that difference in our life. Our lives causes people to examine the life-changing nature of relationship with Jesus Christ. It validates our faith in front of others. What am I saying? I'm saying when we allow ourselves to shift the glory to God, people will see the difference and cause themselves to examine themselves and cause
Amen.
A life-changing nature of relationship with Jesus Christ. My whole goal in life is to point people to Christ.
Mm-hmm.
How do I point people to Christ? Oftentimes, a lot of people get angry with you when they see the glory of God on your life because
mm-hmm.
it is a reflection. That's why people get upset with you maybe in your family who ain't saved, and they make excuses, oh, it don't take all that. You don't have to do all of that to be connected to God. I don't know why we got to serve God. Because a lot of times when people see other people who are serving God to the capacity that they're serving God, that they're so in tune with God and they've given their life and sacrificed and been faithful to God, it is a reflection on them of what they are not doing. And when I see what I'm not doing, it lets me know that I'm not measuring up to the kingdom servitude that God called me to do. So then I make excuses of why I shouldn't have to do that. But every time I see you, I see what I'm not in my life. And it's causing me to get upset with me because I'm not doing the full work of what God has caused my gift to be.
Mm-hmm.
That's why people get upset. They get upset because what you are doing is showing them what they're not doing. And when I show you what you're not doing, and you don't have to say anything to them. All you have to do is walk according to the will of God.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
And so what I realized that even in my life, sometimes it's difficult when people don't know how to place you. And I'm being transparent here. People don't know how to place you because a lot of people, because they are of our humanity, they put you in different categories in your life,
mm-hmm.
different categories of sin they put you in.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if she ain't doing this, if she ain't doing that, she must be doing this. When they can't, mm-hmm. when they can't directly put you in a certain category, then they either make up a category or they put you where they think you are. Well, is it possible? Maybe it's just possible that there are some people who are out here who are serving God can be in the category of living holy.
Amen. That's good.
There are people who when they can't define you, so they try to, because they can't define you and they can't, they know what they do in their life, then they automatically think that you fit in certain categories when I can't explain you.
That's
so when
good.
You can't explain me and you can't figure out where I am and what category, then put me in the category of holiness.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Amen.
Because nobody wants to see that there are people who are in God, who are in church, who are really living holy to the best of their ability. And now, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying they don't make mistakes.
Right.
But they believe in holiness. They live holiness.
Mm-hmm.
They walk in holiness.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Because we recognize
Amen.
The fact that in order for me to have the power of God over my life, to do what I have to do in serving others, I've got to live holy.
You have to.
Otherwise,
mm-hmm.
I have no power. Because if I don't have enough power to overcome my flesh, how am I going to have enough power to cast out demons?
Mm.
Amen.
Yes.
That's good. That's good.
That was good. There go one of them revelation nuggets.
That's
if
good.
I don't have the power to overcome my flesh, how
mm-hmm.
in the world am I going to overpower demons?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So,
that's right.
So we've got to realize that there is a purpose of our service. So now, okay, let's deal with these other two verses.
Mm-hmm.
Let's deal with these other two verses in 1 Peter 4. Verses 12 and 13. And it reads, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trials, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you." I'm going to say that again. "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trials, which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you." Okay, let's deal with that verse right there.
That's good. Mm-hmm.
Think it not strange, because I hear this a lot. People talk about people who serve faithfully, right? They serve faithfully. Whenever the doors are open, whatever they can do to help the body of Christ, they help the church, they help others outside the church. They are just faithful, faithful people.
Mm-hmm.
And then we think it's strange when trials happen to them. Because watch this, they are such a faithful individual.
Mm-hmm.
They are such a blessed individual. They're
mm-hmm.
just a hard-working individual. But Peter mm-hmm. lets us know here, don't think it's strange concerning fiery trials.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't just say trial, but fiery trial. That means severe. Trial. Don't think it's strange. Because those trials, which is, they come to try you. And somebody would say, well, I think that God should leave people alone. God shouldn't allow trials and tribulations to come into people's lives who are doing the work of the Lord. How will you ever be tried? Anything that goes, any type of gold that is going to go be pure, purified, has to go through fire.
Amen.
It has to go through fire in order for the impurities to come out. Now, I don't care how wonderful you are, how faithful you are, there are some things in us that will still, that we still need to get out of us that are going to try us. To let us know, okay, yes, I'm doing this, I'm being faithful, I'm doing what the Word of God called me to do, but I'm doing it, I need to make sure that I'm doing it for the glory of God. So the fiery trials are going to come. Know this, don't think it's strange. So when people say to you, oh, I'm just going through, I'm going through these trials, I'm going through these tribulations, I am struggling in certain areas of my life, my saying to you is, don't think it's strange. It's supposed to happen to you. It's supposed to happen to the faithful one. It's supposed to happen to those who are working in the kingdom of God. That the enemy is going to come after you first. Because I got to make sure that I stopped you or I hold you. Hold you so that you can't do any more work for the Lord. So that you can't help God give glory to himself. Oh, no, hold on. When I recognize what the enemy's trying to do, the Lord has been doing some things. We've been under such great attack at our house, in our church. Things have just been happening one after other after the other after the other.
Right.
And to the point where every time I turned around, there was another phone call. Pastor such and such happened. This has happened. Da-da-da-da. And most people would say, God, what are we doing wrong? Why in the world is this falling on us? Why are we dealing with these trials? And the first thing I said was, something good is about to happen.
Amen, amen, amen.
I began to rejoice in the trial because I realized that they were not unto death. Now listen.
Thank you, Jesus.
God is getting ready to use those he has, the enemy has used to, as an attack, so that God can get the glory. He is strengthening us. He's not dividing us.
That's
he is
right.
Strengthening us. And the more we go through the fiery trial, the greater strength we will have and the stronger we become. Why? Because it's causing us to lay down on our face. That's
Amen.
Why when people talk about the president in the White House, what we gonna do? I ain't gonna do nothing.
That's right.
I'm not gonna do anything because one thing I realized, people say, well, he's doing this and he's saying this and he's doing that. I said, but guess what? It's causing people to get on their face. It's causing people to come together that would normally not come together. It's letting people see. What is out is uncovering things.
Yes, that's good.
And it's pulling people together.
Mm-hmm.
I keep telling people that he became president. And I'm not going to stress out about nothing because I've laid it all in the hands of God. But I believe it was a bad decision because everything I look at don't look presidential.
Yeah, amen.
Everything that I see. Looks like
crazy.
It could be done better. Everything that I see looks like it should destroy us, but at the same time, it's making us stronger.
Yes, amen.
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 And so we are becoming a powerful, we're not making America great again. America was great. But the only reason why we're great is because God is great. God has a set people in this country that shall not be moved. I don't care what we're trying to do, what we're trying to fix, how we're trying to be politically correct. Mm-hmm. There are people in this country that refuse to lower the standard of God and Christianity so that the devil can come in here and rule. There's enough of us. If two or three are gathered together in his name, God will not be in the midst. And he will be more. Then we will be more than those who are against us.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So I'm here to encourage you tonight. Stop worrying about what's going on in Washington and just continue to serve God and do the gift that God takes care of that. That's God. That's light work.
Mm-hmm.
He puts his angels. He gives his angels charge over thee.
Amen.
I heard a young man say something so powerful on Facebook. He was doing a spoken word the other day, and he said something so powerful. He said, "Stop doubting God and start doubting doubt."
Oh, that's good.
Stop doubting God and start doubting doubt.
Amen.
Because if I trust God, it removes all doubt.
And fear.
What does doubt bring? Doubt brings fear. Doubt brings insecurity.
Mm-hmm.
It brings, which is doubt, disbelief.
Mm-hmm.
But what does God? What does trusting in God bring? It brings about believing, trusting, confidence. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Security.
Yes. Amen.
So I think it's better, because as much energy as it takes me to doubt God, same energy it takes to doubt doubt.
Mm-hmm.
Now I hear what you're saying. I doubt, I know what you're saying. One of my favorite songs is by Kirk Franklin, Hello Fear.
Hmm.
And it talks about in the song how before you sit down, there's something I want to say. In other words, I've left you for something greater. I've left fear for God. I left fear for love of God. I've left fear to trust in God.
Amen.
So there's no more room for you here. In other words, you have been evicted from my presence and out of my life.
Yes.
Verse 13. But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. Well, I'm going to be happy because God is going to get the glory out of my life, and guess what? He's going to reveal it to everyone who doubted.
Amen.
Everyone who saw me go through my fiery trials.
Amen.
I went through the fiery trials to give God glory.
Mm-hmm.
Watch this. Not to give me glory, but he says, watch this. Ye may be glad also with exceeding joy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to be, this verse, that last part of that verse where it talks about ye may be glad also with exceeding joy, That particular sentence is really interpret, I told you so.
That's good. Mm.
I told you so. I know you saw me go through great trials. I know you saw me go through cancer. I know you saw me go through sickness. I saw you saw me go through financial difficulty, but I trusted in God.
Mm-hmm.
I told you so. I told you that he would bring me out of this. I told you it won't always be like this.
Mm-hmm.
See, but I have to hold on to God until the glory of God gets revealed. And the problem is we're impatient and we want to rush God.
Mm-hmm.
And can I tell you something? When you're going through a trial, you could be going through a trial for 5 minutes, and they promise you it feel like 5 years.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And the trial is not as long as we think. It just feels longer because we're going through severe attack.
Mm-hmm.
You can go through attack for 3 days, and it seems like you've been in attack for months.
Mm-hmm.
Because what happens is the residue after the attack or the effect, it's the aftershock, as they say. And sometimes when they have an earthquake, the aftershock is worse than the earthquake itself.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, let me help you because some of y'all don't believe it. Let somebody say something about you that is untrue.
Mm-hmm.
When you hear the lie, it's bad. Concerning you. But when everybody else starts hearing about it, that's the aftershock. And then now you can't reverse what's been said in one day. Watch this. It took one day for somebody to lie and turn your life around, but it takes 4 or 5 years for you to clean up the lie that somebody else started against you. That's aftershock. And then you got the Johnny come lately who come 10 years later talking about stuff that they heard happen. And,
10
and
years
then,
ago.
10 years ago, that was an untrue.
Amen.
Aftershock. What are you saying, Pastor? I cannot be concerned about what trial comes or the aftershock. I got to continue to live my life. Because if I continue to worry about what people said that they just getting 10 years ago and we already resolved this, baby, you late.
So true.
God has already restored me. God has already pulled me out. So it's not an effect on me anymore. I refuse to allow that aftershock to take my life.
Because
I'm right now, I'm in the glory of God. I'm in the atmosphere of the glory of God, and you trying to pull me back to a lie. I'm in my I told you so, and you're trying to pull me back into a lie. All right? So I want us to understand that when we go, I'm getting ready to open up this the mic to help somebody. If somebody else is going through something today, I hope this is encouraging you. But I want you to now look at your trials that come in your life as God's opportunity to bring you greater power, greater anointing.
Amen.
Greater authority. Because what it says to me, that what I'm going through, God trusted me enough to handle it so my testimony will empower others who need to hear it. I told my son on the other day, I said, son, he was in the hospital. I said, son, this is going to be one of the greatest testimonies for your ministry.
Amen.
And that testimony is going to change lives. But you had to go through it so people could see the glory of God out of it. What should have killed you is getting ready to give God glory.
Hallelujah.
What should have took you out of here is getting ready to give God glory. And guess what? You are the beneficiary of God's glory. So in other words, when God's glory is revealed, the reason why I'm rejoicing and the reason why I got great joy because his glory is shining on me. Watch this. I don't get the glory, but I become a part of the glory.
Yeah.
I'm in the area where the glory is shining. And that God gave me the ability to stand under that authority and be used by God so that he could get glory. Okay, I'm going to open up the mic. We only have a few more minutes. If there's something that was shared today that you can just share with somebody else, where God has blessed you in any area, or just an encouragement, or say that you were encouraged by this word on tonight that will cause you to keep running on and know that trials that come are coming to make you powerful, make you stronger, make you more successful. All right, I'm opening that up.
Amen.
Anybody have anything they want to say? You can share it now.
I would like to say something. Christ was our teacher. He was our gift for salvation, redemption. But anyway, like I said, he was our teacher. But anyway, one of the things he did was he washed the feet of disciples. He dealt with lepers. But he did all those things in his Father's name. And there were those who questioned, why? You're the master. I'm just a mere servant. How can you do this? And he said, this must take place. But anyway, basically what he was telling them is that I'm not going to be here physically. I'm going to my Father. I shall return. But anyway, basically teaching them to become teachers and to spread the gospel, to reach other people in God's name. And we have that same responsibility. There was a woman who lost her eyesight because of an error on a doctor's part. Her name was Fran Crosby, I believe. She wrote a lot of hymns and stuff like that. But anyway, she lost her eyesight because of the wrong medication given to her. You would think that she would perceive that to be a curse, be angry with God. But that doctor, she was very appreciative because she said, I couldn't have done all these things, the hymns and spreading God's word, had I not lost my eyesight so that I could gain my sight. But anyway, sometimes we're faced with challenges, and Christ was definitely faced trials and tribulations, even to the point in which he was killed. We have to look at our own lives and introspect. And follow our teacher's teaching, Christ, the things he did, the things he went through, and go forward. We don't take things that I did this or I did that. Give credit to where it belongs. That is for God, Christ, the Trinity. Keep things in perspective. So we got to examine why we're doing what we're doing. And keep that in introspect.
Amen. Amen. That is so true because, as you were saying that, God has given himself as an example of what we are supposed to do. When we don't know what to do when it comes to ministry, just follow the things that Christ did. He lets us know. He didn't take the glory, but he gave the glory to his Father.
That's good.
And he, not only that, but he showed and he humbled himself as a servant. So when we decide that we want to go into ministry and be a part of ministry and different things like that, we have to understand that we don't go into ministry to be served. We go into ministry to serve.
That's good.
And I think this generation of people got things, a lot of stuff twisted in the body of Christ. Because they think that they are supposed to become preachers and different things so that somebody can hold their bag and open their door and take care of their stuff. That's not the reason why we become preachers to be served. We become preachers and teachers of the gospel so that we can serve the body of Christ.
Yes.
So when you get your license, the first thing you need to do is start cleaning up the bathroom, making sure the house of God is clean, making sure those different things. That is what we are to do. We are to serve in the kingdom of God. And we should never get to the point where, because I'm this person, I'm this title. I was listening to a preacher on Sunday. He said, you know, when we get to heaven, he said, I believe there's going to be a big old trash can. Take all our titles and throw them right in there.
That's good.
Because we get so caught up, in your title that we forget the purpose of the title.
Amen.
The purpose of the title is not to be greater than somebody else and look greater than somebody else. The purpose of the title is so that you will be servants of the kingdom of God. And when we get an understanding of that, a lot of things in the body of Christ will change. I'm here to serve.
I like what you said, Pastor, about when you read that verse about the fiery trials. I'm telling you, like you were saying, that a lot of things is happening in our church and all the churches. All the churches,
yes.
People are just going through. But we feel it even more because it's up front and center in our face, because these are our church family members. And when they go through, actually, we go through too. But what I want to say is that God is so good, because if he can trust with a blessing, he can trust with that problem. And when he could trust with that problem. He knew that some of our members would have to go through what they go through. But just like you said, it's to put us on our face, to seek God more. And we're doing it for them. We're not even doing it for ourselves. We're doing it for them. But what happens with all of that, God wastes nothing, and he uses everything. And when what he's using is us coming together as a one body like he planned it. And sometimes he will take the ones that people, so to speak, are focusing on, and use those very people to draw the attention back to God, if you can understand what I'm saying. Back to God in a sense, because sometimes, just like you were saying, sometimes people will look at you, Pastor. I mean, you go all over the country and you preach in our church, and people look at you sometimes as God. You know, people they esteem you high, and they should. But don't get it twisted. We don't get it twisted.
Absolutely.
Because God is using you. And just like you said, what you want people to see is they see you, but it's the glory of God that they should see in they should see in you. And I said all that to say that God wastes nothing, and in all this he's empowering us. And he's drawing us. And he said he is going to draw us. And because of the things that are happening, we do fall on our face. And we pray for our brothers and our sisters.
Absolutely. And while, together.
Yes, and while we're doing that, yes, it brings us even closer together. God wastes nothing, and he uses everything. And he trusted that, like I said before, if he can trust you, people of God that are hearing me, if he could trust you with a blessing, he can trust you to not give up and not faint in these fiery trials. Because Jesus himself went through the fiery trials. He went through for us. Amen. Amen. I know I went off into a tangent.
So my time is well spent. And I pray that on the next third Wednesday that we come back on, that you will share. Let people know that we are going to be on the air. So I'm going to turn it back over to our Elder Clay, and he will give us last words and dismiss us. Amen.
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 Amen,
amen. Elder.
Again, amen. We do thank you. We do thank you, those of you that tuned in. We are here every Wednesday. The call in number is 347-237-4054. And when you call in, you can be a part of eating at the table. Amen. We do thank Pastor Mixon, as always, for the revelation nugget from God. And as we would say, it was good. It was good. And we do thank you for that. Father, we thank you for the word that was passed out, Heavenly Father. We pray, Lord, that all of those, Heavenly Father, be rooted, Heavenly Father, would take it and abide it and apply it to their lives. Father, we ask that you would use us as servants, Heavenly Father.
Yes.
Lord, Father, we know that your word is a lamp to our feet and a light into our path. We give you all the glory in the name of Jesus Christ. Remember, we love you, but God loves you most.
Amen.
can be.